passe à un artiste. Super, encore un but sensationnel. That's a brilliant bit of follow-up play by Mahé. Oh my goodness me, what a shot.
Sagolsen. Sagolsen setter det hen. Han setter den. De I semifinale.
Before Christmas, in the last couple of days of 2019, we sat down and had an absolute blast picking the men's handball team of the decade. We went through position by position and debated with our heart and soul who were the best players of the last 10 years. And when we did that, we naively thought that we'll do the men's team first and then we'll do the women's team. But we are so exhausted after that debate and argument that we knew that we had to do the women's team at a separate date to give them the passion that they deserved. That day has finally come, and we sat down with Jelena Erich, a silver medalist with Serbia in the 2013 World Championships, someone who's played with and against some of the stars that we have drafted into our women's handball team of the decade.
Jelena Erich, thank you very much for joining us. The reason we've got you on for this podcast is to talk about the women's handball team of the decade. So the last 10 years, 2010 to 2019. We did one for the men back in December, and that was a very interesting conversation. And we felt we had to get a true women's handball expert on to talk about it this time. So I hope you've got your opinions ready.
Yeah, and thank you for calling me to join you guys. I'm really happy to be here with you tonight.
Before we start, we'll do what Alex did in the last podcast about the men's team of the decade and just give it a context around the last 10 years of women's international handball and who's won what and just which teams have been dominant. Alex?
So we all know the answer to which team has actually been dominant over the last 10 years. But when you look at the results, it speaks a lot more. So if we go back to the start of the decade, 2011 World Championship, the champions were?
Any guesses?
Norway.
And then 2012 European Championships won by Montenegro. So it was a mix-up at the start. And Brazil winning the 2013 championships was really, I think, a big occasion for the sport. This is the first time a non-European team really kind of came out, especially in this decade. Brazil really came out. They're a strong team, big occasion. But then things went back to normal in 14, Norway. World Championships 15, Norway. World European Championships 2016, Norway. The real absolute peak of handball for this Norwegian team, where these players who we all know about and we'll talk about were really at their absolute best. But since then, there's been also a bit of a shift of power. We saw 2017 World Championships France come in, break up this Norway steam train. And then in 2018, in the European Championships, France came back and did it again. And last year, just in December, in Japan, we saw the Netherlands finally break through and get their first gold medal.
Nice wrap-up. Before we go any further, I just want to ask you, Jelena, because you were part of the Serbian team which lost that 2013 World Championship final, winning the silver medal, which is a great achievement. But what can you tell us about that, the championship, and also the Brazilian team that beat you in the end?
Well, most of the Brazilian players were actually playing in Europe, and they were quite familiar to us, and we knew what we could expect from them. But I remember that we played our group in Niš, and we were in a group with Brazil and Denmark. So at the end of this World Championship, Brazil was winner we were second and Denmark was the third. So that was really, really tough group, first of all. And then we, as a second in a group, it was really hard to play against Korea, against Norway. That was, I think, the only year where in the last decade in the World Championship where Norway wasn't on a medalist. So actually we won against Norway in a quarterfinal, and the year before they lost the Euro Championship against Montenegro. So in that period I think they were a little bit down with the results, but just year after they came back. They have really, really big potential, a lot of really great players in every position, and I really think that it's really easy for them to change generation and to come with the young players and to give them chance to play and to learn from the older ones and just to change. You know, not so many teams are in that situation like Norway is.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, just to give us a bit of context about the length of the decade, and I think that's also important where you come into this, Yelena, with you being a top-level player, in particular at the beginning of the decade, is looking at the World Championship All-Star teams from 2011 and in 2019, a bit like Alex did with the men. And yeah, with the All-Star teams, we're not always 100% in agreement with them, but it's always a nice reflection on where the handball world was then. So looking at 2011, we had Chana Masan, the goalkeeper in the All-Star team from Brazil. We had Emilia Touré from Russia. We had Andrea Penisic, who's still a very active player and has been at the top level of world handball for the entire decade. Heidi Loka, of course, we all know, and on the line, Alison Pinault, Lena Jorgensen as the All-Star right back, and that's an interesting one there. We had her on the podcast a couple of months ago, and Carmen Martin, again, a player who's been very active and very prolific over the decade. Looking at the club competitions as well, and the Champions League, in a similar way, we had Norway winning 6 major titles over the last decade. Jura were the big dogs of the decade, winning 5 Champions League titles. It took them until 2013 to win their first one, however, but since then they have been pretty prolific, winning 5 out of 7 Champions League titles. So I think it's time to break into the team itself, and let's see who we actually think should be in this women's all-star team of the decade. So Yelena, I'm going to ask you first of all for your nomination for the goalkeeper, the best goalkeeper of the last 10 years.
Okay, the best goalkeeper of the last 10 years, in my opinion, is Amandine Leynaud from France. Mm. She's a really very skilled goalkeeper. She's not the goalkeeper who is not waiting for the shoot, going in front the second before the shoot or something. She's really technically really very, very good, and it's trust me, it's really hard to score the goal to her because she's waiting for the shoot, she's always at the ball, always on the right side, she's standing and waiting, and she's the engine of the team where she's playing, because if the defense is not so strong enough, she's behind them, and the player who are playing the defense, they just know that she's behind them. And when I see her playing right now in a jaw, I see how much she gives the confidence to the others. So actually I really like her style. I can say that she won some titles also with the French national team and now with the jaw. And I can say that she was all these decades in a top 3 goalkeepers in a Europe and in a world.
When I was doing a bit of research for this, I think this was the position which I thought was actually one of the hardest ones to pick And I made a bit of a short list here. So I had Lunde, Toft, Silje Solberg, Kari Grimsbo, Lino, Ungariano, and Kiss. And I think...
That's not a very short list, though, is it?
No, it's not. That was the problem with it. Yeah? It was three names, then it turned into six names, then seven names very quickly. So, because I start off with Lunde, Toft, Lino, and Grimsbo, and then I put Solberg in as well. But it was very difficult for me to pick some of them apart. And I was 1 minute I was Lunde, the next minute I was Kari Grimsbo, and then I was Lino. I think I could probably remove Kiss and Ungariano from it. Kish. I probably removed those two from it. I think they're a little bit on the outside at the standard of the rest of the keepers. I think Toft is probably the best keeper in the world right now. Very similar to the last podcast when we were picking the men out. I think if it was from 05 upwards to the next 5 years, maybe she would be considered the best keeper of that, like, middle decade, as it were. I don't know. So then it's probably a toss-up then for me between Lunde, Grimsbo, and Leno. But Yelena, you were talking about Leno there, really from a purely technical side of things. So you are coming at this, looking at this team of the decade from a purely technical aspect, and with the trophies and stuff coming in second place. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, actually I will agree with that, because there is a lot of really technical good players who unfortunately wasn't in a good team to win a championship or to win a Champions League or something. But when you said, I had also Katrina Lunde on my list, but the biggest difference, Katrina was really, really good at the end of the decade before, when she was playing in Viborg, when the Danish championship was really, really strong, and Norway in that period also won almost everything. And the difference between Katrina and this Amandine Leno, in my opinion, was that Katrina was playing with defense, with the block. Actually, I'm speaking now about the skills. Yeah, technically. And she was going a little bit earlier. She wasn't waiting for the shoot. So that's the difference between those two players. And in my opinion, it was much more harder and difficult to score the goal to Amandine in, if I compare it in that way. Yeah. So that's the only reason why I give the advantage to Amandine Leno.
That's super interesting. I think Amandine Leno and Katrina Lunde were the two players that were on my shortlist in the end. So in that sense, I kind of agree with both of you. The last 10 years of Leno has been very, very interesting to look at. Like her club career in particular, the fact that she was with Vardar through their rise and their consecutive appearances in the Women's EHF Final Four, and the continuous heartbreak that they felt. And I'll never forget the time when she won the most valuable, was the most valuable player, the most valuable goalkeeper after losing the final, and the press conference afterwards where she was almost inconsolable, but an incredible player for the big moments. And she's getting a bit more reward for her brilliance these days, playing in Jura and also being part of a French team that are winning some championships and winning medals on a consecutive basis. So yeah, I think maybe we do have to give this one over to Leynaud, with Lunde in a very close second place. What do you think, Brian?
Yeah, I don't know. Then we haven't really mentioned Grimsbo, do you know? I mean, she also won the European Championship three times in that decade. Final Four MVP in 2019, All-Star Goalkeeper 2016, 17 and 18, All-Star Goalkeeper the Summer Olympics 2012, 2016. So it's amazing that you have a keeper with those kind of stats behind her, and she comes in third place. I think there'll be a lot of people who will put Kari Grimsbo at the top of that list as well.
Perhaps that the Norwegian goalkeepers are detracting from each other then?
Possibly, yeah. Because, I mean, they've had so much success, and they've been kind of stacked in so many positions, and they've always had good goalkeepers. So maybe Lunde and Kari Grimsbo are kind of taking away a shine from each other, as it were.
Yeah, I agree with you, actually, because when I remember all those championships, and both of them, they were just really good, but not... I don't know how to say it, to explain. right that in France there is just, like, I mean, not just, but the attention is at Leno, but here on the top, two really good goalkeepers, it's not so, I don't know, it's hard to decide which of those two is better, but it's still, in my opinion, they are close to Leno, but not, okay, all the trophies and everything, but it's not that what I was, what is the key factor for me, from my side, to decide about the team of the decade.
Yeah, it's interesting because I like this because this is something now which I think myself and Alex disagreed a little bit on when we were picking the last team or the team of the men's decade, when he was saying there has to be medals behind their name. And I think that's why Alex doesn't like Andy Schmidt, for example, because he's never going to win medals. You know? So, but this, I like this. We're coming from a skill aspect as well. So we'll have to take your word on that she was trickier to get past than the other two Norwegians.
The reason why I'm speaking about the skills so much, not so much about the titles, because I had an opportunity to play with Bojana Popović, both for national team, and we were Serbia and Montenegro, and before that we were just Yugoslavia. And honestly, I was really, and I'm still, in that decade, I believe that she was the best player in the world. Mm-hmm. Until 2012, when she won with Montenegro silver at the Olympic Games. Mm-hmm. I think you all remember her, how she was playing for Slavia, for Viborg, for Budućnost, how many titles with the champ with the clubs, and that title with the national team. But actually, she never was officially the best player in the world. And in my opinion, and most of the handball, maybe people who were in the handball in that decade, they will say to you that Bojana Popović was one of the best, but never actually officially the best.
Yeah. Well, that's why we're doing it. maybe it's interesting to move on straight to the left back position then, instead of going to the left wing, because left back, well, that's a position that means a lot to you, Yelena, and for me, it's just one player. I don't know how you feel about it. Maybe for Popović, this decade has come a bit too late for her. She had the international success, yes, in 2012. With Montenegro, but probably her best days overall were coming in the previous decade. I think for this 10-year period, I would go with Kristina Niagu. Is it possible to look past her?
She is number one at my list.
Yeah.
Okay, left wing. I know, I'm joking.
Is there any looking past Niagu for you? And if not, Yelena, what makes Kristina Niagu so special for you?
Well, Kristina has everything what one left back needs to have. She's playing defense, so she's good in defense, actually. She's good in reading the game. She can shoot from 10 meters. She has really strong shots. She's good in finta. She can see wings. She's good in counter-attack. She absolutely playing two against two, playing her teammates, assist. She has everything. The thing is that when she's shooting, her arm is standing so I can say far away from the defender, and defender cannot. She has special technique of shoot, jumping shot, for example. That's really hard to play against. And it's really hard for goalkeepers to stay because she at the goal because she really has everything, and her attitude at the court. Unfortunately, she was injured with a shoulder and then with one knee and the other one. But now she's back, and I really enjoy watching her.
As you said, a technique which is simply unlike any other women's handball player. It is truly unique, and it's incredible what she continues to achieve. Brian, I see you're ready to jump in here. Are you looking past Niagu in any way?
No, I'm not. compared to my goalkeeper list, this list was very short at left back. It was for a few days, it was just Niagu sitting at left back and nobody else. And then I put in Popovic question mark as well, but then I also put it right beside it, kind of more, yeah, decade came too late for her. Amorim as well, but I think you never could put Amorim in front of Niagu, and I think that's maybe Amorim, the defensive position, would kind of suit her better for this team. So I'm not going to look past Niagu for all the reasons mentioned. I'd just be interested to hear, does Janela, do you have any kind of honourable mentions for the left-back position?
Well, like you said, I was thinking also about Amorim, but she's much better in defence, and I just can't compare her with Cristina, really. And all the others, for example, Estevana Polman right now. She was MVP of last World Championship in Japan, but she's good, but she's not Cristina. I like her style, but everything, but Cristina has something what makes her the best left back in the last decade.
Okay, that's an easy one then. We'll take that one off the list. Yeah. And what surprises me is that we've gone two positions already and we haven't got a Norwegian on the list. So maybe we go to the left wing, and for me, it has to be Camilla Herrem for what she has done and continues to do throughout this decade. And I heard Yelena laugh. Is that a laugh because you agree or you disagree and you're disgusted?
I'm just thinking, do you know what I wrote? I don't know all those names, what I wrote. It's really, yeah, she's on my list. Okay. Actually, I had the biggest problem with that left wing because I was thinking, okay, Camilla Herrem, and who else?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because I was thinking as well, Mamedovic will be one you could probably put in there. And then, do you put Gerbitz in there now at this stage or no?
Nah,
I don't think so.
The situation with Anita Gorbitz is a little bit special because she was a playmaker. Mm. And at the end of the decade before and at the beginning of, until 2012, 13, I don't know, she played. Most of the time playmaker, and she was brilliant, really. But last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, she is most of the time as a left wing, but she's not left wing, she's the playmaker.
Yeah.
So I couldn't consider her as a left wing, unfortunately. She has the skills, she can shoot everything, and she knows to play, really, but she's not a left wing.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But just a word more on Camilla Herrem. What she did at the World Championship again in December, the very last competition of what we're considering for the decade, was phenomenal. I don't know how she keeps doing it. You know, it was only last season that she was playing in the second division in Norway, but she, at international level, continues to pop up and perform incredibly well. And she has been the same type of player throughout the decade. Her athleticism is amazing. Her skill, her trickery, her ability to fast break as well, just top notch and clear winner on all of our scorecards there. Center back, not so easy. Brian, who's on your short list?
For center back, Lekic, Guldin, Holt, Christiansen, who do I have here also? Oftedal. And also not a very short list. But if I was going to shorten that list now for you, I'd probably shorten it to, let's put Gerbitz in there for the moment. Gerbitz, Lekic, and Guldin.
Okay. This, I think we're going to have some disagreements on. How about you, Yelena?
I have Stine Oftedal. I have Andrea Lekic in Nykøgrat.
Okay, yeah, that's... Yeah, it's interesting. I opted on Lekic. I had Gerbitz in there as well. Groot, that's... I didn't have her on my list, but I feel like I've dropped the ball there a little bit. I don't know, this is a hard one. If you had to defend the corner of one of them, Brian, who would you go for and why?
I originally started with with Lekic, and that was when we were meant to record this originally. I was had her down as my centre back because I was just thinking, which one of these names really defines the centre back's position in women's handball? And I think it's just an iconic name for a lot of people, Andrea Lekic, for all the stuff she's done. So for me, it's kind of up between herself and maybe you could argue Guldén as well, but I would probably put Lekic at the top of that list.
Jelena, you as a left back in your playing days, you must have appreciated certain attributes in centre backs. And of course, you've played with some top players as well as playmakers. Which of the players over the last decade do you or did you enjoy seeing most? And how did it fit with your style of playing?
I played with Andrea in a national team, and it was really easy going, I can say. I was there when she started to play for the national team, and even I was there when she was the best player in the World 2013. It's really easy playing with her. She can see everything. She's. I think sometimes I remember that I said to her, shoot more for yourself. She was just playing to other teammates, you know. But when she was a few years younger, she played both defense and attack. Now, unfortunately, she's not playing so much time in a defense. But actually, I really think that she's good in defense too. That's my opinion. I mean, I had the opportunity to see that and to realize how good she can be in defense. But right now, I'm a little bit in between her and Stine Optinen. Of course, I will give Andrea that opportunity to be the best playmaker in my list. Mm-hmm. But really, Stine Optinen is doing amazing job last few years.
Yeah.
She's a gene of the Norwegian team, of the GR, of I don't know, she's everywhere where she show up, she's just, you can see her smile and you can see her attitude and her physically straight and the way she is shooting, making pinta and taking all the players with her, it's amazing. She's good in defense also, and I don't know, she's really, really good. But I can say that I will give an advantage to my ex-teammate from national team. That's maybe I'm so subjective, but you need to understand me.
That's fair. Well, I think you're allowed to be in this case in particular. And I think the interesting thing with both of these players is that they've been very prolific throughout the decade as well. I mean, Andrea Lekic, she was the World Handball Player of the Year in 2013. And she was already, I think, one of the nominees in 2011. She's played for a bunch of top-level clubs throughout the decade as well. She was part of this Vardar team, which we spoke about earlier, which Leinod was part of. She was a Jura player as well for a while. Chesima Bucuresti now, and then she's taking the next step next season to Budućnost, which is an interesting move. But Oftedal, she was still a junior player when in 2010 when she won the Junior World Championship, and then later that year was part of the senior team, which won the Euro in 2010. So she's also been around the top level for the whole decade. Brian, are you sticking with Lekic?
When Jelena was talking there, I was thinking, why did I remove Oftedal from my list originally when I was doing that edit? And I don't know why, but I was thinking there, I think I'm a little bit biased in my head because Lekic has always been around in the Champions League for as long as you remember, and we know how close she came to winning it as well. And Oftedal has always been around on the international circle, but really only came onto the Champions League scene after her move from Paris in 2017. So I think that kind of influenced my decision a little bit, that the fact that I haven't seen her playing kind of as much in the Champions League as Andrea Lekic. You know, while Oftedal has been winning medals on the international stage, Lekic has been playing at the highest level in the Champions League. So I think maybe there was a bit of bias there in my in my head, because when you look at Oftedal's achievements on the international scene over the decade, it's two World Championship gold medals in 11 and 15, and three European Championship 10, 14, and 16. And like you said, Chris, she won that junior World Championship medal and then made her trip to the, or made her, got her place on the senior team. So she moved up fairly quickly there as well. But yeah, it's a toss up. I think you're going to have to decide this, Chris. I'm sorry.
Okay. all right then. You know, for the sake of spreading the love, because I think it's not the the last time we're going to have a Norwegian on this list, let's go with Andrea Lekic. Happy?
Yeah.
Okay. On to the right back position. And this this gave me a bit of trouble as well. There's one or two names which stick out to me, but I think there's a bit of recency bias on my mind as well, and more what's happened over the last 4 or 5 years. So I think to give us a bit of balance, I want to get Yelena starting this right back discussion.
Okay, I have two names on the short list and one extra what I was just having on my mind in the beginning when I was thinking about this theme of the decade. Those two names are Nora Murk and Anna Vyacherova. And that extra name was actually Anna Gross.
Oh, interesting.
They're the exact three names I had.
2 years sharing notes.
Yeah, I'm going to have to send a picture of my notes just to prove I'm not saying this. How about you, Brian?
I had Mork Varikieva. I can't remember pronounced it. I didn't have Gross. I didn't think about that for some reason. I also had La Cabre and Bulatovic.
Bulatovic is a good one as well. She's definitely probably over the decade been one of the most present players. But for some reason, she doesn't strike me in the same way as Nora Murk or Anna Vyacherova. If I were to go for one right now, and I think this goes into the, as I said, the recency bias that I have, but definitely over the last few years, the pure brilliance and like the, I don't know how different her take on being a backcourt player is, I would have to give it to Anna Vyacherova. For Nora Murk, she's just been too injured too long, too many times for me at the moment.
I'm going to interject here. I've been staying a bit quiet, but this absolute disrespect to Nora Murk, I can't take it.
go on, Alex.
So this Norwegian team that I mentioned that was by far the best team in women's handball from 2014 2016. You can include whatever edges of that. Nora Murk was the best player. She was top scorer of the World Championships in 2017. She was top scorer of the European Championships in 2016. And she was top scorer of the Olympics in 2016. That peak for her was incredible. And yes, she's been derailed by injuries in the latter stages of this decade. And it's a great tragedy that we're not seeing her play at her highest level. But come on, Nora Murk is the best right back of the decade.
I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I actually agree with Alex.
I'm just so glad I heard peak for the first time in this podcast. We were missing that. What do you think of that argument, Yelena?
Totally agree with. She has even four Champions League titles, and she was. If I am watching her technical skills on the court, that is amazing. She's so hard to play against with, both in attack or defense. She's just amazing. But in my opinion, she was really engine of the Norwegian team and a juror in those years when they won some titles. So for me, in the last decade, Nora Murk and Anna is really good, talented and good, but her time, she has more time in front of her.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, back in 2012, she was still playing in Youth World Championships. So I think you have to take Nora Murk over in that regard. So we settle on that, so...
Yeah, I think that's fair. Nora Murk in at right back. All right, glad to have Alex in the conversation now. I hope we'll get him in. We just have to anger him about Norway. Just to give Yelena a bit of background here. Alex's opinion on women's handball usually is, when it comes to club handball at least, whoever's got the best Norwegians are going to win the title. So that's what his love for Norway says. When it comes to the right wing then, I've got two names in particular down here. But I want to hear from Brian's not-so-short list first.
This is a really short list. I have just Carmen Martin. I think she's been my favourite right winger over that decade. I think she's someone now who I would automatically think of. When I first thought, who would you put there in right wing, she was the first name that came to mind. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I remember... I think you might disagree with me, Chris, no? I think when Chris goes, I think that's normally a disagreement coming.
No, I don't necessarily disagree, but I've got an extra name in that on my list. It is a fairly short list as well. I've Carmen Martin and I have Jovanka Radičević as my top two. How about you, Yelena?
I have just one name and that's Jovanka Radičević.
Oh, so we got a tie here.
Oh, God.
Well, tell us why you only put Radičević on your list.
Starting with 2012, Euro gold. 2012, also Olympic silver. 2013, she won the Champions League with the GR. Then she was in Vardar, playing really good the Champions League, like we mentioned about Lekic, that she was all the time present in the Champions League, like Jovanka also. And I know for sure that she was in the Champions League the best right wing in 2014, 16, 19. In a World Championship, she was also the best right wing, even the last one, 2019 in Japan. And you allow me to say something about her skills.
Absolutely.
She has really specific shoot from the right wing. She jump and she watched the goalkeeper more than the other right wings, and she can shoot everything. She has so soft hand with the ball. She's good. Her percent of the score is so high, unbelievable. Now she's in the top form last 2 years, 3 years. She's playing just amazing. And she's so good in defense. Trust me that right now in Budućnost, she's a half of the defense because she's pushing the others on the side where is the ball. Maybe some people won't see that on that way, but really the right wing, you know, or wings in defense are very, very important, and she's doing that. Really fantastic.
That's a very good argument, Brian.
It is a very good argument. I'm not fully convinced. Yelena, if you're going to put Martin and Radičević together head to head, who do you think has the better fast break game?
Fast break? Well, maybe Carmen is a little bit faster than Jovanka is. But actually, I think that Jovanka is reading the game better than Carmen. I mean, Jovanka is all the time running in. She can play even as a playmaker sometimes if it's necessary. She comes as a second line player in some actions, and she can even she can really do a lot of things, and most of the things she's better for me. She's better than Carmen. I like Carmen's style. No offense, but. For me right now, I mean, not right now, the whole decade is a decade of Jovanka Radičević.
Yeah. I was going to go through a load of different positions there where they might be better, but I think you've kind of ruined my game there because you were so... you made a lot of sense there. I was going to go one against one from a tight angle, but you kind of said it all in one there. But I was just looking here. All-star, Carmen Martin was all-star right wing for the European Championship in 2014, 2016, 2018. That's a nice spread as well, but I don't know. I think you might have kind of convinced me slowly at the end there.
Well, that's an interesting one. Carmen Martin, the all-star at 3 Euros there. Looking at Jovanka's all-star list Also our right wing at the Euro in 2012, at the Champions League in 2014, 16 and 19, and the World Championship in 2015 and 19. That's a nice spread as well.
It is, yeah. But Cameron Martin won the Spanish Queen's Cup in 2011-2012, so. I'm scratching for facts now. No, okay, I'll give it to you. I'll concede.
Okay, Jovanka Radičević in on the right wing. Now, I'm going to go for the line player position next. And for me, one name sticks out, but I'm not going to ruin the game. So I'm going to bring Alex Kulesh back into the conversation and see if he wants to throw any Norwegians in there. Alex?
So there's, as a line player, there's, I think, one clear winner, and that is Heidi Løkka. But the question that I'll ask you, all of you, is, has Heidi Løkka been the overall best player of the last 10 years?
Oh.
Whoa.
So, wait, you're saying basically that, according to you, that she's locked in as the best line player. That's not even a question. But you reckon she's the best of the... She is the MVP of the decade.
I think she has been the absolute engine of this Norwegian team. And by engine, I mean both in defence. She's the leader in defence. She has been, at many stages, the person that when they need a goal, when they need, they're in a tough situation, the ball is played to her. And I think that's what makes her an absolutely special player, especially for a line player to have so much dominance over a team. And that's why I think she's the best player of not only her position, but of the decade.
So will we give her Alex Kulesh's Player of the Decade award then?
the much coveted and sought after award.
Only every 10 years.
Before we go handing out the Player of the Decade to her overall, any disagreements about her being the best line player of the decade?
I just know that Heidi Løkka was the only one I was thinking about. I played with the Twitch, with a lot of really good players, Russian players, line players, and I play against, I don't know, even from everybody, but playing against Heidi Løkka is crazy, trust me. She's so good, both in defense and in attack, and shooting with both hands, almost the same, no difference. She's all the time where you expect her to be as a back player. So amazing, really. I agree totally that she was the best line player of the decade.
Okay, yeah, she was the only one on my list. How about you, Brian?
Yeah, I had Yvette Broch and Svijic down there as well. I had Yvette Broch question mark because I was wondering, had she not retired, that she was on such a high when she was still playing, had she been playing the last 2 years, would we be, or would it have influenced our conversation now? But we'll never know that. And I think you can't give it to anyone else but Heidi Løkka.
Yeah, that's an easy one. Now, I think you're going to enjoy this one, Yelena, the defender of the decade. Who would be on your list? Have you included yourself?
No, I think I'm on the decade before this one.
Yeah, okay.
I stopped playing handball right after the World Championship 2013. So in June 2014, I stopped with the handball, and I can say, for example, I have Anna Sen, and I have Sabina Jakobsen. Yeah.
Okay. Amarim, no?
Oh my God.
Amarim,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Amarim, yeah.
I almost fainted there.
Yeah.
That makes me think that you have a case to make for one player in particular, Brian.
For me, it has to be Amarim. You know, when you just look at her record and the impact she had in so many important games, especially in the Champions League, is... and how much of a legend she is in Gur as well. for me, she's the standout defender from all those three names that three names that we mentioned. I think you couldn't look past really her for what her, the way she sets up the defense and how she, important she is when she comes. And she's someone who also can play an attack. She's not just the defensive specialist. And I know this category is just defense, but she's an incredible left back as well. So what she adds to a team is something really special.
You have three names on your list there, Yelena. Is Édouard Amorim the standout among them, or do you have a closer call between the three players?
No, actually, I had those three names because they're totally different kind of defenders. That's why I put all those three there. They're girls who are really big and strong, and they know how to play defense. Some of them, for example, Anna Sen is playing also like 5-1 defense. Mm-hmm. Amorim is not playing that. That is really hard to play. And Sabine Jakobsen is playing just normal, I can say, Scandinavian 6-0 defense, which is with the help of the others. But Amorim is the strongest in a duel one against one, and really very, very good to read 2-2 in defense. And with her straight, I mean, she's really strong to hold everybody without any help. So for me, Amorim is the best defender of the last decade.
Good, we're agreeing so much here. Is it?
Where's Alex when you need him?
I think it's fair that Amorim is the top dog in defense. And as you said there, Brian, also a great court player. I mean, she's so influential for Jura and also over the decade for Brazil. So yeah, I'm glad to give her the best defender of the decade. One more category left, and that's the coach. Now, when one team dominates much of the decade in the national team arena and one team dominates much of the decade in the club arena, do we just have to make it a two-way battle between Thorir Hergeirsson and Ambrose Martin?
Yes.
But this brings up the most difficult thing to compare, though. When you're comparing a club coach, well, Ambrose Martin coaches Russia now as well, and he coached, it's not his first national team job, but he has achieved his greatest feats on the club level with Jura, and Hergeirsson has been with Norway since 2009. But it's difficult to compare these two teams when they're playing in completely different forms of international handball. So how do we compare them?
Actually, I really don't think that we should compare. I think we should leave it like a national team and the club competition, because it's really difficult to say, okay, Thorir is better because she won the national team that and that titles, and maybe that Euro wasn't so hard to win, or I don't know. But for Ambrose also, it's okay, he won with GR so many titles, and now last World Championship bronze with the Russian team. But why should we compare those two different level of competition? This is a club competition and this is national team competition. You have also, for example, Olivier Krumbholz. He's mm-hmm. just a coach for, like Torre, just a coach for a national team. Also, very successful. Why should we put club coaches together with the national team coaches? Not all of them are in a club's competition.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would argue then that they'd say that the club achievements are a lot harder, but I mean, it's over a longer term and you have a lot more games and it's a lot more of a slog, whereas in the championship, it's over a few weeks and you've the rest of the year off. I don't really agree with that, to be honest. I think they are, like you said, two completely different beasts that are insanely difficult to win or to achieve. So maybe we have to create some sort of mutant coach here that we call Torir Martin or something. It's just kind of a mix of both men. I'm not sure how we can solve this problem. What do you think, Chris?
Is there any argument that one coach would not have been able to achieve what the other one did? Or do you think if you threw Ambrose Martin in with the Norwegian team as they were and gave them the tactics that he wanted them to play, or if you put Hergeirsson in with the Jura team of the last decade and had him play the way, to be fair also, there's been a big Norwegian influence in this Jura team over the decade as well. But so if Torir was in there, would he perhaps not be able to achieve what was done? And this is where I want to bring Alex in again.
It's, yeah. I was happy to stay quiet there. I was staying silent as a mouse. I was about to go offline. I'll take it from a different perspective, slightly different. Do you think that it's easier for a club coach because a club coach can buy players, they can get more players in, and Jure have obviously done that for this decade. They've been the number one club, but also the club with the most money, the club with the most ambition. They have gone out and searched for the best players and brought them in, making the job for the club managers easier, because if he has a gap to fill, he can get a player in. The flip side of that is Norway are just filled with great players, so you can kind of just do that with normal Norwegian players. I can't decide. Let's go with hybrid.
Torir Martin. Whose legs will he have? No, this is an impossible argument. This is an impossible argument. I don't really know, because what you were saying there, Alex, is on the one side, with a club, you have money behind you, and Gjør have a lot of money behind them with sponsorship from Audi and various other places. And on the other side, Norway have this, or had this, and still do to a certain extent, this unbelievable pool of talent to choose from. Like, you remove both of those managers and put two other guys in there who are good managers. How many of, would they have had similar achievements? It's very hard to know. It's really hard to know unless you're playing the team in both teams, which manager had more of effect on a lot of those results, you know? So it's very difficult from the outside to say that. All we know is both of them dominated for so long on both fronts. Who do you choose? I don't know. I think we should leave up to Jelena to decide.
I'm thinking, I'm listening to you, and I'm thinking, really, both of them are great. But like you said, the thing is, well, if they change position, what the result and what they will achieve? It's really hard. Some of the persons are really for the managing the clubs, coaching in the clubs, and some of them are just for the national teams. So I'm not sure. Maybe to ask, I don't know, somebody who is like Stina Oftendal, to ask her.
Yeah.
She had Ambrose as a coach in a GR, and she had a Torir in a national team. To ask her to decide, I really don't know.
Yes, as Torir was said, this really is 50-50.
It's 50-50.
So maybe,
how about we leave this question and we go out and ask Steve Offendal, but also ask some of the listeners and get them to decide, because obviously we can't make this decision.
The thing is, right, if you ask any of the Norwegian players who play for Jura now, Torir is still their coach. Ambrose is not. So I think that's that'll be the answer. But
exactly.
I'm leaning towards Hergeirsson. However, I think it is very 50-50. Yeah, we should put this out on our social media and make a big poll out of it, and let's see what the answers are by the next podcast. But besides that, we did a pretty good job of selecting the All-Star Team of the Decade. Let's just run through it quickly here. We have in goal Amandine Lenoir. We have on the left wing Camilla Herrem. At left back, Christina Niagu. At centre back, Andrea Lekic. Right back, Nora Merck. Right wing, Jovanka Radicevic. Line player, Heidi Loka. Defender, Eduarda Amorim. And coach, a tie at the moment between Thorir Hargeisen and Ambrose Martin. So, Yelena Erich, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you had a good time discussing and mostly agreeing with us.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me. It was a pleasure. And I hope that we will soon have some other opportunity to be together and to speak.